disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last Sunday I had from Burton to St. Robert's. I usually go on 75, then I go off to Pearson Road, but once I get off at Pearson Road, I tend to get confused as to which branch of the road I'm supposed to take to get to Flushing, so I always use my GPS for that last part of the trip. When I put St. Robert's in my GPS, it had me getting off at Hammerburg Road, which it had never done before. I had plenty of time, so I thought, well, I'll just get off and see where it takes me. Now, at the same time, I was listening on Audible.com on my radio, the autobiography of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Many of you might be familiar with that. I've read it a few times. I like to read it every few years. Of course, not reading it, listening to it from Audible. And whenever, you know, there is a direction from the GPS, as you might know, that's going to tell you where to go, then your Audible.com, whatever is being played, is taken away, and your GPS direction is given. So your radio becomes silent, and the GPS direction tells you where you next need to go. And then the Audible.com breaks back in. And St. Teresa of Lisieux, the Little Flower, she was speaking about our need to always follow what Jesus tells us, listen to him, and to follow him directly. And as I was listening to her, she said, "We must always remember that Jesus said, in 3/4 of a mile, exit on Hammerburg Road." So I thought, well, I guess that is the better way to go. Back before Jesus said it. It was exactly at that moment, too, so that was pretty cool. The one thing that is different from the apostles before the Spirit comes and after the Spirit comes is that they are afraid. They're in the upper room, as we heard in the Gospel, because they're afraid. They're afraid that what happens to Jesus is going to happen to them. And so they're hiding. The apostles, the Blessed Mother, they're in the upper room. Once the Holy Spirit comes, they are no longer afraid, and they go out and preach the gospel message. Passover for the Jews celebrates the people being freed from slavery in Egypt. 50 days later, Pentecost is celebrated when they celebrate the giving of the law of Moses. So there would have been a lot of people, you know, in Jerusalem at that time. We're told in the Acts of the Apostles that 3,000 people, you know, joined the church that day because of the lack of fear of the apostles who they are preaching, who come out preaching. And that is one of the things that the Holy Spirit should do for all of us, because we have all received the Holy Spirit in baptism, confirmation, the Holy Eucharist. Indeed, in all of the sacraments, we receive the Holy Spirit. You could say that they work because of the Holy Spirit. That's why for all of the sacraments, the priest, the deacon, you know, does the ancient sign of giving the Holy Spirit baptism. They put their hand in the water of baptism to bless it. At confirmation, the bishop lays his hands on your head. At the Holy Eucharist, the priest holds out his hands over the bread and wine, calling down the Holy Spirit. Sacrament of matrimony, during the nuptial blessing, the priest or deacon holds up their hand over the couple. Sacrament of Holy Orders, so the bishop lays his hands on the people who are to be ordained, the anointing of the sick. Before the anointing, the priest puts his hand on the head of the sick person. And in the Sacrament of Penance, the priest holds his hand up over the head of the penitent. chapter 6, into the death and passion and death of Jesus, so that we may rise with him to new life. And in baptism, when we are baptized, after the baptism, when the oil of chrism is put on our head, we're reminded that as Jesus is priest, prophet, and king, so we are sent forth in the same way. So it is important for us to seek to be free from fear. There are lots of things, you know, that it's true that we do fear, you know, in modern life. I mean, we lock our homes when we leave. We lock our car doors. We get password protection for our computers. We do all kinds of things because we're afraid that someone might steal our stuff. You know, and that, and unfortunately, this day and age, that's kind of a legitimate fear. But we should not fear the presence of God, the presence of Jesus within each one of us, because that is how, you know, Jesus and belief in him, faithfulness in him is spread. Now, I'm going to read off the gifts of, and fruits of the Holy Spirit here. I'm not going to explain them. You know, if this were my very first Pentecost back in 1981, after I was just ordained by Bishop Havish, then I might, you know, have to say, okay, well, over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to explain each of these gifts. But you don't need to do that anymore because you can look it up on your phone on the way home. You know, or you can look it up on your tablet or look it up on your computer. Look up what the fruits of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are and the descriptions of them. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are permanent dispositions to equip believers to serve God and others. Their ability is given so one can be of service in ministry. The gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and awe of God. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are those observable qualities and actions that result from living as a disciple of Jesus, the things that we can see because we are disciples. Their presence indicates that the Holy Spirit is present and working within a believer's life. Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, modesty, self-control, chastity. Now, not everybody, as far as the gifts of the Holy Spirit go, not everybody is given all of the gifts. That is purposely done by the Holy Spirit so that all of the gifts are only present when the church gathers together like this. We could find all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, today because we're gathered together as the Spirit-filled believers in Jesus. More than one or two gifts, you know, but we need to get together for them all to be present. What I like to do, you know, on Pentecost is to look at the gifts and look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the gifts first, and go through them and write down which ones I believe that I have. And then I'll write them down, go through the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which one of those I think I have. And then, you know, over the next many months, I'll meditate on that and ask the Lord how I might express them better, and then indeed express them better. You know, we lock our homes, we lock our cars, we lock our computers, but we should not lock our hearts nor lock our mouths. And the only way that Jesus is going to be made known is if we have unlocked hearts and unlocked mouths and share our faith. You know, I was recently hearing, listening to a person's reflection on Pentecost, and they said that they were going to tell the people who were listening to this a way that they could double the size of their parish in 5 years. And that would be if each one of them, through living the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, brought one person into the church. You know, through the RCIA, the OCIA it's called now. One person who lived in the fruits of the gifts of the Holy Spirit would come into the church because of them. Now, those of you who joined the church, you know, as adults, you know, probably did not join the church because you were just infatuated with the teachings of St. Augustine. Or you couldn't get over what Thomas Aquinas wrote. You probably joined the church because someone you loved, you know, brought you into the church through their example. You know, people are loved into the church, and so we can love them into the church too. We don't need to be proselytizers. You know, we don't need to stand out on somebody's front door and proclaim the message. We do that through the way that we live our daily lives. You know, people who say, didn't have enough cash on him, and it was not a large amount. So I said, you're lacking so much money. And he said, yes. I said, well, here it is so that you can get your prescription.